This is News in No Time, Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, was Mrs. King's goodbye too political? And is it ever okay to use the N-word? Joining us today to discuss these topics and more from our Chicago Bureau, Laura Washington, columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times. Joining us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida, Eric Deggans, media critic of the St. Petersburg Times, and George Curry, editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service, joins us from Maryland. Before we get to those folks, I want to talk with, and we have him on the line, and Rev, I appreciate it, the Reverend Joseph Lowry. You have raised the ire of some yesterday at Mrs. King's funeral. We heard just from just moments ago from Congressman Lewis, who suggested that he applauded you for doing so, and talking about weapons of mass destruction and the like. Rev, you certainly knew what you were doing there. Did you have the intention to make, first of all, the president uncomfortable at the time?
Well, first of all, I'm neither Republican nor Democrat. I'm Methodist. Both parties have felt my wrath from time to time. One of them takes us for granted, and the other one just takes us. So I wasn't interested in any partisan politics. I was interested in commemorating Coretta Scott King. We weren't burying a rap artist nor a famous cook. We were burying a woman who gave her life to world peace, racial justice, human dignity. And that's what she was about. And what did they expect us to talk about? I talked about what she talked about. I talked about what she lived about. I talked about what she dedicated her life to. And I don't understand how anyone could expect to attend the funeral of Coretta Scott King and not hear a message about her lifetime commitment to world peace, to eradicating poverty, and to eliminating racial injustice.
Were you at all surprised that the media took this and ran with it? Was it what you hoped?
No, I'm too old to be surprised about what you guys do. No, I wasn't surprised. I was a little. And the Bush didn't seem to take it that way. I shook hands with the president. He hugged me around the shoulder and smiled. His daddy came up and said, this guy scored 23-1 through my presidency, and suggested I not give up preaching and go into poetry. And so, you know, it was done in good faith, and I can't retreat. I can't retreat. God help me. I can't recant.
Reverend, let me ask you this, and you and I privately talked about this. As we move into the twilight years for many of those who've been on the front line of the civil rights movement, we lost obviously Mrs. King and Rosa Parks most recently. What would you like to see the community do, not only to commemorate the legacy of people like yourself and others, but to continue the fight?
Well, I think I said at the beginning of my remarks that how marvelous it was that these presidents and the state governor came to the funeral and mourned and praised. But then I said, in the morning, will the words turn to deeds that meet needs? And that's what we need to do. We need to move from ceremony to sacrament to translate praise into policy and practice. I said to the governor, you know, Mrs. King was in state at in honor at the Georgia Capitol, where Martin couldn't because of the governor. Lester Maddox wouldn't have had it. But at the same time, in that same Capitol, they are passing legislation that restricts voting rights. So it's sort of contradictory to have a woman who symbolizes voting rights in the rotunda and then in the legislative corridors pass legislation to contradict and even defame what her life represented. That I'd like to see us translate praise into policy and practice, ceremony into sacrament.
Reverend, before I let you go, final question for you. Again, I've always said you are one who doesn't worry about the aftermath. You speak what you believe. Those who followed, leaders of today, do you hope, do you wish that they would do a little bit more of what you and others had done and not worry about the aftermath, be less calculating, if you will?
Well, you can always hope that people who are in the midst of the struggle will speak truth to power and not worry about the politics of it, nor the consequences, nor the criticism, nor the praise, but to do what they have to do. It's a calling. I wish I didn't have to enter into this arena of controversy sometime, but that's what I feel called to do, and that's how I have to respond. That's what I hope all leaders would do, to be true to their calling and speak truth to power.
Well, you've done that for years. Reverend Joseph Lowry, always good to talk to you, Rev. Appreciate
you
coming on with us.